When he disappeared on a kayaking trip that day on the lake, the county sheriff and his deputies poured their hearts and souls into finding him. Reuniting this man with his wife and kids meant everything, especially as Christmas was drawing near. But then the Canadian government revealed that someone had been using his passport. This is the story of Ryan Borgwart, the Wisconsin woodworker who faked his death to escape his awful everyday life as a husband and father. Hi, friends. I'm Katie, and this is Katie Does Crime. Thank you for joining me for the first time if you're new here. I'm a Midwesterner who now lives in New York City, putting my writing degree to use by researching true crime cases that interest me and hopefully you. And hello to the usual rapscallions and reprobates. Please consider subscribing or joining me on Patreon if you'd like to hear more true crime stories. The Wisconsin State Journal was the first to report on the missing man, 44-year-old Ryan Borgwart, on August 14th, 2024. I'm going to call him Ryan because I cannot possibly say the word Borgwart 200 times over the next 20 minutes, so please excuse me. Authorities said Ryan had gone out on Big Green Lake, an hour and a half outside of Madison, on August 11th to kayak. He texted his wife in Watertown that he was headed back to shore at 10:49 p.m., but hours later, he still hadn't come home. His wife reported him missing, and the local sheriff's department went to look for him, but all they found was his overturned boat and his life jacket attached to it on the western side of the lake. A week later, the hunt was still on by underwater drone and using deep water search equipment with sonar. Green Lake, the deepest natural inland lake in Wisconsin, gets as deep as 237 feet in some places, so it wasn't somewhere that search and rescue divers could cover on their own. The nonprofit Bruce's Legacy volunteered their help and spent $10,000 making repairs to some of their equipment during the search. But the organization was named after a firefighter who drowned while searching for a drowning victim in 1995, so the effort was close to their hearts. No one had found Ryan yet, but authorities were able to recover his phone, and GPS data led them to some of his belongings. His vehicle and trailer were still sitting in Dodge Memorial Park. Fishermen netted his fishing pole in the lake. His tackle box turned up on the shore with his keys and wallet inside. Fearing the worst, authorities used cadaver dogs to search for his body. They got some hits, but nothing that led to Ryan. The sheriff asked people to help keep litter out of the lake to make the search easier. Ryan's wife chugged along with life as widows so often do, raising their children alone. She and Ryan, a woodworker with his own business, had been married for 22 years and had three teenage children together.
Hi, so I'm Ryan. I'm the owner of Crimson Branch Woodwork and Acrylic. We've been doing business now in the area for just finishing 5 years. What makes us unique, as opposed to many other cabinet shops or woodworking shops in the area, is that we make almost everything that we sell right here.
There was an outpouring of concern from the sheriff and the people of their small town of about 22,000 people. But by October, the authorities were changing their tune. See, it turns out that a few things didn't look great for Ryan, and investigators weren't totally convinced that he was missing anymore. It turns out he'd replaced the hard drive on his laptop and cleared his internet search history just before he disappeared. He reported his passport lost or stolen, got a new one, and took pictures of it that had synced to the cloud. He moved money into a foreign bank. He bought airline gift cards. He got a life insurance policy on himself. And maybe, worst of all, he got a new email address and started writing to a woman in Uzbekistan. The Green Lake County Sheriff said, "Due to these discoveries of the new evidence, we were sure that Ryan was not in our lake." They now believed he was alive and likely in Eastern Europe. Apparently, things had started to unravel when Canadian authorities did just a quick check in their computer database after Ryan disappeared and found that his new passport had been used in their country. The local sheriff's department was able to reach out to the girlfriend in Uzbekistan who helped them to get in touch with Ryan in November 2024. They contacted him by email and found that he was living in the country of Georgia. He made a proof of life video answering questions that only he would know, which I thought was kind of funny and unnecessary. I feel like this local sheriff's department really wanted to pull out all their training on this one.
Today is November 11th. It's approximately 10 a.m. by you guys. I'm in my apartment. I am safe, secure, no problem. Hope this works.
Apparently, Ryan didn't want to come back at first, so they pleaded with him to be there for his wife and kids in time for Christmas. I love the world they live in, where they think that this woman wanted to see this guy who abandoned his family for some woman he'd quote-unquote known for a few months. But this evidently convinced Ryan, and he came back voluntarily to Wisconsin in December 2024 and was taken into custody. He was charged with one misdemeanor count of obstructing an officer. It seems like sort of a tame charge for what he did, but as one attorney said, you have to use the existing laws in the books. It feels like faking your death, abandoning your family, and making an entire county search for you should be a felony, but apparently there's no precedent for that in Wisconsin. At his hearing, Ryan said he had $20 in his wallet and couldn't afford a lawyer, so he was offered a public defender. But instead, he decided to defend himself. Just another great decision in a long line of them by this man. On August 26, 2025, Ryan pleaded no contest to the misdemeanor charge of obstructing an officer. In a statement to the court, he said, "I deeply regret the actions that I did that night and the pain I caused my family and friends." I love the use of "that night," like he's only sorry about the one night where he said goodbye to his kayak. Prosecutors asked for 45 days in jail, but the judge sentenced Ryan to 89 days, the length of time he allowed his deception to continue. He'll pay $30,000 to the Green Lake County Sheriff's Office and the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources for the efforts they wasted on him. The DA said, "Certainly, any criminal charge, conviction, and sentence that this court today hands down will not be able to come close to undoing the incredible damage this defendant, by his premeditated, selfish actions, has done not only to his family, but our community." Now, some people are saying that Ryan appeared in a TikTok video before he left the country. In this video, a young woman holding a sign that says, "Ask me for free advice," calls out to a passing cyclist, "Need advice on anything?" The man stops and asks if he should go to Uzbekistan to meet a woman, but he admits that he already has a wife. The young woman tells him to sort things out in his marriage first, so I'd say her advice is pretty spot on, despite her clearly having never heard of the country of Uzbekistan.
"Need advice on anything?"
"I go to Uzbekistan or stay here?"
"Say that one more time."
"Do I go to Uzbekistan or stay here?"
"Do you have family there?"
"No."
"Why do you want to go?"
"Meet a woman."
"To meet a woman? And it was as back?"
"Uzbekistan."
"Uzbekistan. You don't like American women?"
"No, they're familiar."
"Hmm. So you've given up on meeting someone here?"
"No, I'm married."
"Oh."
"Yeah."
It's not Ryan in the video, and I love that Reddit did a side-by-side earlobe analysis to prove it, but it's pretty wild that this Ryan-looking guy happened to bring up meeting a woman in Uzbekistan. So here's what happened with the actual Ryan. He met this woman online and told her he loved her and wanted to create a new life with her. He got a replacement passport so his old one would be left behind in the safe when he left and his wife wouldn't suspect anything. He got his vasectomy reversed. He went to church with his family as usual on August 11th, overturned his kayak in Green Lake that same evening, and used an inflatable child-sized boat to paddle back to shore. He rode an electric bike 70 miles overnight to Madison and took a bus to Detroit and then to Canada, where he got on a plane on August 13th with $5,500 in his pocket. He flew, using his new passport, from Toronto to Paris into Asia, I'm guessing Georgia, where he was found, and emailed his girlfriend that he'd arrived. She picked him up and took him to a hotel where they stayed for a couple of days. He got a job and an apartment. He followed the story in the news and says he didn't expect the authorities to search for him for so long. The Green Lake Sheriff said in response to that, "Well, I hate to tell you, you picked the wrong sheriff from the wrong department." All we know about this woman in Uzbekistan is that he connected with her online a few months before he disappeared, but I'm dying to know if he was catfished or what happened there. When he transferred that money to a foreign bank before he left, was it to send it to her? After seeing enough episodes of 90 Day Fiancé, where everyone expects that marrying an American will make them rich, I wonder if things went bad when he only showed up with $5,500. Ryan's wife, Emily, filed for divorce and full custody as soon as Ryan returned home, so I guess she did not, in fact, want to see him for Christmas. Her divorce filing said the marriage was irretrievably broken, which I think is putting it lightly. He would only say that he faked his death and fled to Central Asia because of personal matters. This is only a guess, but I imagine that the personal matter is that his wife is way too good for him and he feels like a worthless piece of next to her. I was dying during the sheriff's press conference when he teared up, thanked his staff and volunteers, and said, "They're the ones that kept this going. I couldn't be more proud of them for what they did for a family. We didn't give up." I'm like, good work bringing home a scammer, everyone, but read the room. He feels like he reunited a loving family when this guy would clearly rather be dead to his wife and kids than have to live with them. But I'm like, maybe Ryan was just trying to do everyone a favor by disappearing. Or maybe, seeing how religious this family is, he wanted to be remembered positively rather than face the shame that some people feel around divorce. I guess the best we can say about this guy is that at least he didn't kill his family like lots of other men do. Thank you for tuning into my podcast episode. I'm just a true crime fan like you are, and I really appreciate you taking a chance on me. Please subscribe and tell a friend if you like spending this time together. You can also find me on YouTube in the flesh by searching Katie Does Crime.